We are live.
Bada bing, bada boom.
The word I like to use is extra.
Do you know her sign?
Franzi, I would drink today.
I low-key think I'm kind of psychic.
It's like, am I psychic or am I an empath? Long-distance friendships, social media.
Friends, you are listening to No Filter Friendship with Jen and Haley. I'm Jen Gregorio.
And I'm Haley McNutt. And together, we're two friends who talk too much. Welcome back and happy NFF Friday. Hope you're having a great day. How's your day, Jen?
Or at least an okay day. I hope you're having at least an okay day.
Yeah.
My day's been okay. I would define it as okay. I was just tired all day. I snoozed my alarm for a full hour.
It is a classic Monday vibe today
mm-hmm. That we are recording. Obviously, people listening, it is a Friday that you are listening, hopefully. It could be a Monday. You could be listening to this on
That's
a Monday.
That's true. We don't know.
We don't know. I don't know if it's in my head or if it's real or if you can tell, but I kind of lost my voice this weekend a little bit. It's a little raspy.
Sounds a little raspy, yeah.
I am recovering from my sister's bachelorette party, which was this weekend.
Yay!
It was really fun, but that is the reason why I snoozed my alarm for so long, because I am a dead person today.
Yeah.
It was so fun, though. We had a great time. We went to Portland, Maine, and there were 13 of us, and then also my mom. So nice. 14. But my mom would, like, she came and then she left and then she came back and then she left. She didn't stay in the Airbnb with us. She stayed in a hotel because there were like aspects of the party we didn't want her to be at, a la like the stripper that came. and other aspects. So not that my mom hasn't seen a male stripper before, because she has. Actually, on our way to Portland, me and Amanda drove in the car with my mom.
Yeah.
And she ended up calling my grandma on the way. We were chatting with her. And my grandma was talking about how she was like, why'd you go to the, why are you going to Portland, Maine? Why don't you just bring in the Golden Banana on Route 1? Which is like, it used to be.
Oh my God.
The Golden Banana is now like a gentleman's club. It's a women's strip club, but it used to be a male strip club, which, which now that it's a women's strip club and it's called the Golden Banana, doesn't make any sense. Like, it makes more sense for it to be a male strip club.
Yeah.
But whatever. She's like, why don't you just bring him to the Golden Banana? It was really funny.
I mean, valid point, Jima. Valid point.
So my mother, on her for her bachelorette party, 35 or what, 36
went to
years
the
ago,
Golden Banana?
Went to the Golden Banana with my grandmother and like my friends.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the weekend was very fun. I was a little nervous, and I think Rachel was too, just about like the dynamic of all the friends, because I think Rachel, it is a lot of people, and they're from all different aspects of her life.
Right.
You know, she's got friends from high school, she's got friends from college, she's got friends from work, she had, you know, a friend from abroad. But I think all of her friends had at least met each other. The only person I don't think knew anybody was Becca, her future future sister-in-law. I just don't understand the dynamics. It's weird. Yeah, close. But yeah, it was very fun. We did a brewery tour on Friday. We decorated the Airbnb. And then we had the stripper come on Friday. We did a 90s-themed beer Olympics.
Oh!
Very fun. So we all dressed up as different US 90s themed like countries. So the USA was Britney Spears, UK was Spice Girls, and Canada was 90s grunge, because Avril Lavigne and Alanis Morissette are both from Canada, which I did not know until recently.
Amazing.
Fun fact. Saturday we did a boat charter or whatever, drank on the boat, which was very fun. And then we went out Saturday, and then we were all dead on Sunday, so we just left after we went to brunch.
Nice. That sounds very action-packed. And also, considering you and Amanda are kind of like the ones hosting it too, I feel like you must have been very, very sleepy.
Very, very sleepy. Yeah, I honestly feel like I was more stressed last week, like making sure I had everything and was like fully prepared than I was during the
That's good. You stressed beforehand. You had pre-stress so that you didn't have stress.
I had a lot of pre-stress, which I would prefer to have the pre-stress than the stress at the event.
Yeah.
Because the event went really well because of all the pre-stress.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, that's good.
And Rachel had a fun time, which is all that really matters.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, everyone got along really well. There was not really, like, there weren't really any issues or awkwardness, I feel like. I mean, maybe there was, like, a little bit of, like, oh, we just don't know people. But, like, it was mostly fine. So.
Yeah. Good.
So, yeah, that was my weekend. How was your weekend?
Oh, my gosh. How exciting. My weekend was really, really great. I went to New York and visited my friend Babette, friend of the pod. New York.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Concrete jungle wet dream tomato is right. It was great. We had a very good time. I feel like we didn't even get to like scratch the surface of all the things that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
But also it was like truly hotter than hell in New York. And it was just like every minute that you were outside, you became more and more soaked to the bone with your own sweat. So, like, we weren't trying to, like, push ourselves too hard either. And I'm glad that we, like, took time to just, like, chill, too. But, yeah, it was great. Did a ton of walking. The most walking that I have done easily in the past year. And
classic New York City.
Yeah, and it was, like, the first big test that I've had of my back since my surgery. And, I mean, I survived. I'm in, like, some pain now, but it's really not that bad. Like, honestly, I stretched pretty much every day to, like, help facilitate movement and all that good stuff. But we walked, like, 6 miles on Saturday and then another, like, 5 on Sunday. So she survived. She's thriving. Damn. Yeah. So, yeah, this was the first time I had been there for, like, a significant period of time. And it also was the first time that I had been in, like, you know, like, downtown area, which is, like, my favorite spot. So we actually spent, like, the whole weekend downtown. Babette lives in Queens, but we obviously just kept going into Manhattan and doing stuff there. And we also went to see a comedy show last night. Oh, my God. So good at the Comedy Cellar. It was incredible.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Was it Jer Fried?
No. It was some random people whose names I can't remember now, but I could probably find them later. But they were so good, like, genuinely. I was so impressed with single one of them. There was one female comedian on the lineup, and she fucking killed it. Like, literally, every single joke she said, I turned to Babette, and I was like, oh, my God, this is me. Like, I kept being like, how does she know? It was so, so good.
I do feel like female comedians are more relatable. Like, they just, because they tell jokes about the female experience. Of course. And so as a female, you're like, oh, fuck, you're right.
I mean, yes, obviously. There also was one girl who brought her mom who was probably, if I had to guess, like mid to late 60s, this woman. And most of the comedians had, like, you know, several different topics that they hit on in their sets. Obviously, every single one had COVID jokes, which was, like, nice but also sad at the same time. Like, every time somebody went up, you were like, yep, we're going to talk about COVID again. Mm-hmm, that's classic. Right. We all survived COVID. but there's one comedian who went up and immediately started telling, like, all these dick and, like, sex and masturbation jokes. And I kept seeing this woman, and she was just completely stone-faced in the audience. And I was like, oh no. I was like, bringing your mom is a choice, and I don't know that I agree with it, but okay. All right.
But, like, here's the thing. I feel like you gotta know your mom.
Yeah.
Like, is your mom gonna think it's funny? Because my mom, I think, would think that penis and whatever, like, jokes are funny.
Yeah.
Like, my mom would be on board. Oh, my God. On Friday, we had, obviously, like, a bunch of penis straws for decoration. And she had brought one to the brewery tour, like, by accident, I think. She just, like, had it in her pocket or something.
Classic.
And she kept pulling it out all day, like, as a joke. Like, my mom would be down, you know?
Yeah.
But some moms are not down, and you gotta know if your mom's down or not before you bring her to a comedy show.
That's exactly how I felt. I was like, I feel like there are some people who would have been, like, totally chill in this environment, and she clearly was not.
Isn't it so fun being out in public again and people watching?
Oh my God.
We were talking about that so much this weekend because we went out like to the bars on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time a lot of Rachel's friends had been to a bar since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was like, we didn't really know what to do with ourselves. Like we were, because there was 13 of us. Like there was a big group of us and we were all kind of like, what do we do? Like, what do we do at a bar? Like,
do we
I don't remember.
Do we?
And at one point, we were just sitting on couches, like, looking at people, just staring at people.
Classic.
And we were like, this is so fun to just people watch.
It is. It is so fun. I did a lot of people watching, too. Babette and I kept, like, we took a lot of breaks while we were out walking around because of my back, mostly, but also because, you know, it was hotter than hell and we were dying. And every time we would take a break, we would either stop and work on a crossword puzzle on my phone or just people watch, like just sit there in silence and just watch people. And like, that was entertainment enough. We didn't need anything else. It was wild. It was also just really amazing to be back in New York, like, and to see it so revitalized after everything that those people have been through. Like, I was, my heart was so full seeing everybody out and about and happy and vaccinated. Like, the Comedy Cellar requires that you're vaccinated to even go to a show. And they check. Like, you have to bring your vaccine card or a picture of it.
I love that.
I know. So because of that, like, everybody is able to be there and feel completely safe, including the comedian.
That's amazing.
Like, you don't need to go up on stage and worry about it. Actually, one of the comedians had a joke about, like, now that he can see people's faces, he's so intimidated because, like, before he was like, I got so comfortable, like, telling jokes to people with masks on. And now I look in the audience and, like, some of you are really hot. And I'm like, oh. And I was like, honestly, me just like out in public.
Oh my God. I actually was talking to my friend at the gym manager today about that because this one guy walked out, he walked by us, he walked out. We're like chatting after I worked out. And we looked at each other, me and Gio, the gym manager, and we're like, he's so hot. And I was like, it's funny because I didn't realize that he was so hot until he took his mask off.
Right.
Because he wasn't that hot without with his mask on.
Yeah.
But now that he took his mask off, he's really hot and I'm upset about it.
Yeah. That's exactly what he said in the joke. He was like, everybody has good forehead. Like, nobody has a bad forehead. And he was like, also, what it really revealed is that I'm bad at imagining the other 50% of your faces.
Oh,
and I was
absolutely.
Like, literally so fucking true. There are people whose faces I see now and I'm like, ah, what? Like, what?
Yes.
That's what was under there the whole time?
Yes.
I had no idea. If I know somebody and I've only known them with a mask on, I'm like nervous. Like, what if I don't recognize them when they take the mask off? Like,
that's kind of how I feel about when I meet my coworkers in person.
Right. Exactly.
Like, what are they going to look like? Are they going to be tall?
Oh,
are
yeah.
Are they going to be short?
That's exactly
what. Are they going to think I'm tall? Are they going to think I'm short? Like,
yeah.
Are they going to think that I look completely different in person? Am
Who
I going to...
Who the fuck knows?
I don't know. I'm nervous. What are we talking about today, Haley?
Wow, I'm so glad you asked, Jen. We're going to talk...
Knew you would be.
We're going to talk about some friendship articles that we found, which basically... I stumbled upon this series that is currently being written in The Atlantic called The Friendship Files.
You just unlocked a memory for me
when
you said stumbled upon. Do you remember the button stumble upon?
StumbleUpon.com
or something? And
yeah.
then you would just hit stumble upon and go to different websites?
Yeah, do we think
Does
that
still
exists?
Exist?
Let's
because
find out.
That thing was lit.
Let's find out right now. StumbleUpon.
I was obsessed with
Me
StumbleUpon.
Me too. I used to go on StumbleUpon all the time in high school.
Oh my God. It was even in college, I think.
Yeah, probably in college too. It says StumbleUpon moved to Mix. What is Mixed?
Fucking A.
Oh, so they just rebranded?
That's stupid because StumbleUpon was a great brand.
It looks like now they have it as a Chrome extension.
Oh, that's so fun. I want to get it.
That's pretty smart, actually.
This is non-spawn.
Oh, and it's also an app. Oh my God. We're discovering a lot today. But it looks like it still exists, like,
have to download
just
it.
In a different format. Yeah. I might get the extension and just play with it a little bit.
Anyway, so yes, I'm so sorry.
Right.
You unlocked memory. I needed to explain myself. So you stumbled upon, tell us more.
Yes, The Friendship Files, which is a series currently being written by Julie Beck for The Atlantic. The little like blurb they have is each installment of The Friendship Files features a conversation between The Atlantic's Julie Beck and two or more friends exploring the history and significance of their relationship. So basically, she has all these different articles that I found where she's interviewing friends about something in their friendship that is really unique. And each article is kind of titled based off of what that unique thing is that they're like telling their story about.
It's so cute.
It's really cute. It's like
just
a beautiful,
like in general.
It is. It's such a beautiful celebration of friendship. And honestly, The Atlantic, if you're listening, I want to do this. Thank you. Or any publication, if you're listening and you want a Friendship Files writer, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Call me, beat me.
Yeah, literally. Call Haley.
So anyway, I found a couple of them that I thought were cute, but then I was like, oh, you know, it'd be really fun if each of us picked one that we thought looked cool and then tell each other about those friends and their stories. And then we can also obviously add our own little color in of how we feel, and if we have any friends who are similar. Does that sound fun?
I love it.
Beautiful.
Do you want to go first?
Jinx.
I'll go first.
Okay. Go for it. Tell me all about your friends.
Okay, so the one that really spoke to me, and I feel like it will maybe speak to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's titled, The First Real Friend You Make After College is Special. And basically it's about these two girls who were 23 and they graduated college and they met at their first job outside of college and then they ended up living together because they like whatever their situations worked out and then they lived together during COVID. And so it's all about like, you know, they met at work and then, you know, their roommate situation, whatever. And it really spoke to me because that's what happened with me and Orr.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I've made a few friends post-college. Like, I think a lot of my friends are from high school and college, but I do have a good amount of friends from post-college. But it made me think, like, who was my first one? And I think it was Orr because I was living at home in Burlington, went to Rapid 7, met Orr, became friendly with her, and then we lived together. And then that was it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just really identified with it. So, and it also, like, the title is also important to me, I think, because it's like, it's that friendship is important. And I don't know if people really, like, talk about that very much. Like, it made me think about, like, the other friends that I've made post-college and how, like, those are also so important because there's so much more. God, what am I trying to say? It's like there wasn't necessarily a set situation. It was a situation that I put myself in.
Right.
And that's how I made these friends, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like my high school, it's just the high school that I went to and that was a situation. And I'm not obviously discounting any of those friendships because obviously those are like everything.
Very important.
And then college was, I guess, like kind of a situation I put myself in. But like... Rapid 7 was like the first like big girl choice that I made, right? Like to work at Rapid 7 and to be an order management specialist and, you know, like, and then when I think about, you know, my old roommates, I made a decision to live with them and I made a decision to live with Orr and like those were like big adult decisions that I made and it just, those friendships feel so different even though they aren't necessarily as long as the other friendships, I think they're still so important. And then it also made me think about roommates and roommate situations or roommate friendships and how different and more intense those are. Because, yeah. like, these girls are talking a lot about how, like, especially because these girls that she interviewed were roommates during COVID, so they spent so much time together because they couldn't do anything else. And, like, they just watched TV all the time together and, like, did all these things. And I feel like you don't even think about that building your friendship, but it absolutely is. Like,
yeah.
all the times that I would sit with my old roommates and watch TV, even my roommate now, Nicole, and I, we just finished Dawson's Creek, as I've discussed before. Like, yep. just sitting down and watching a TV show is such a bonding moment that I don't think people think about. Like, just being able to sit there in silence and watch a TV show with somebody is a bonding moment.
Yeah. Well, and also being roommates with somebody is a kind of like an intimate friendship level, because you're seeing people in their home and you're getting yes. to know them as a person, while you're also getting to know them as like a spatial, like, partner, mm-hmm. like, you guys are sharing that space together. So I feel like even actually becoming friends with somebody when you're already roommates, I think is actually like a very unique way to start a friendship, yes. and also very special in a similar way, but different from, you know, how we're talking about just like friendships that are outside of college. Mm-hmm. But like my friend Emily, we became friends mm-hmm. because we lived together. Like, we happened to live together randomly, yeah. and then we loved living together so much that we decided to continue living together. And mm-hmm. I feel like our friendship really flourished when we actually moved into our second apartment that we lived in together, because we were spending so much more time, just the two mm-hmm. of us. And we got to know each other on that very intimate level, where, like, now if I was to go visit her, I know how she exists in her yeah. home space, which
right.
other people who she meets out in the world don't know that, because they're not right. there with her every day. Like, mm-hmm. it's a very different type of relationship.
Right.
So I think it makes sense that for those girls in that article, and also for you guys, that you have like a very tight bond that isn't, it's not exactly the same as anything you've experienced anywhere else.
Yeah, well, and also, like, when you're roommates with someone, like, the friendship becomes a friendship so much faster
mm-hmm.
than if you're not living together. Not only because the amount of time you're spending together, but right. like, my roommate Nicole and I did not know each other before we moved in, and like, she's seen me with my hair in like a t-shirt, like, no,
so you're gonna say like crying or like having a breakdown.
Maybe. Also probably, but like, I don't know. But also, I will say that, like, with Orin and me, when we first became roommates, like, we knew each other from work, but we were not friends. Like, mm-hmm. anybody who met us pre living together, even during living together, we weren't super close until the yeah. very end. Like, we got into some fights, and, like, you know, if yeah. you want to hear about those fights, you can go listen to the episode that Orr was on, which is called I Can't Be Tamed, But we'll accept criticism. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From, like, November or some shit. I don't know. Yeah. Good episode. But anyway.
Great episode.
But, like, we were not really friends when we first moved in together, but because we were roommates, it just escalated mm-hmm. so quickly, yeah. you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. You're right. It definitely, like, creates, like, not, like, a sense of urgency, but, like, it's putting you into, like, a pressure cooker. Like, you're going to get
yes.
really close really fast.
Oh, my God. Because you have roommate, to. Being roommates is like an air fryer of friendships.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, exactly. I love that. That's so funny. That is a good episode title.
The air fryer of friendships. Yeah. I love it. We love to see it. I think that's really beautiful. And I also think it's really beautiful that you chose that article and then, like, immediately thought of Orr and how close you two are, and how, because I'm sure in that article, they probably talk about how being friends with that other person was, like, so instrumental for that period of their lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's so beautiful how you feel that way about Orr too.
One of the quotes I think is really cute is one of the girls goes, "It's cheesy, but this felt like my first step toward being a person outside of who I was 3 months before. I have a big girl job and a big girl friend, and we're talking about big, important things. What a life I live."
A big girl friend. I love
so
that.
So cute, right?
Oh, that's really cute. I like that a lot.
Like a new chapter of post-grad life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute. It honestly, it's so funny because I feel like their scenario is like just so similar to ours, or to me.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Oh, Jen, you closed all three rings.
Oh, I did?
Well, apparently. Yeah. I just got a notification. Congrats.
I'm gesticulating so much that I'm
you're burning calories.
Burning calories. Yeah. They also talked about like being work friends, mm-hmm. like coworkers, and then also living together and how like that could be stressful. Mm. Which I guess the caveat of living together is like a pressure cooker for friendship.
Right.
In the way that like sometimes things come out bad because you fucked up or something, right? Mm. Like, or you made a bad recipe. Like if we're continuing with this metaphor that I don't know how I feel
okay,
about anymore.
Okay.
But like, like I think that there's a certain, if I worked and lived with somebody who mm-hmm. was different than or, I don't know if we would be friends.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if I lived with this girl that I'm friends with from my old team, Amy, like, I think I would have killed her because we were, like, on the same team and we talked all the time at the office. Yeah. And then, like, to go home with her, I'd punch her, you know? Because, like,
oh my God. You'd be like, I'm so sick of you, I want to die.
Exactly, exactly. But with or, like, since we didn't work on the same team.
Right.
It worked out. And then, like, we would commute to work together sometimes, but she was very much like, I'm going to, like, put my headphones in and listen to a podcast because, like, this is my me time. And I was like, okay, I love that for us.
I see you.
So, like, I did the same thing, you know? Yeah. Which, let's normalize doing that. I think we should normalize doing that.
Putting in headphones, like, and not talking?
Yes.
Okay. You trying to tell me something? No.
Haley, no. Our tagline is two friends who talk too much.
Correct.
We can't stop.
No.
But I think, like, there is, I do feel like there's a pressure mm-hmm. to, whenever you're with somebody, just, like, keep talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not always necessary.
Yeah. Dude, I was thinking about that this weekend, too, because, like I said, Babette and I are, like, two, like, I don't know, chatty Cathys when we're together. But I think because we're both air signs, it's very easy for us to start talking about one thing and then have like 17 other topics shoot out from that one thing. And then it's like, oh my God, we have all these things we need to talk about now. I have all these thoughts I want to share. And I mean, to be fair, we also haven't like been seeing each other in a while. So there was a lot to catch up on. But I kept thinking about that too. I was like, oh my God, now I'm like getting to the point where I'm like stressed if we don't talk because I feel like we have so much to say. But normally, like, especially now in my ripe old age of 27, I definitely am becoming more and more comfortable with just like being in silence, just being in each other's
just
presence.
Just being in silence, yes.
Just being. That's it.
When you talked about, like, being air signs and, like, you just can't stop talking.
Yeah.
Did you, it made me think of, did you see Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar?
Yes. Wow, what an incredible film.
Okay, wait. The scene that you just made me think of when you said that was when they get on the plane and they mm-hmm. start talking about their favorite name was like Judy or something.
Uh-huh.
What was her name? And they literally probably talked Judy. For the entire plane ride about how they loved that name and like what that kind of girl would be.
Uh-huh.
Like absolutely iconic. That movie that movie was fucking funny.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so, so good.
Yeah. Steven and I watched it when it came out, like, kind of on a whim. Like, we were like, oh, this looks interesting. And we both were like, what is happening? Like, it was just
I can't believe that we haven't talked about it yet because it made me think, like, a lot about friendship.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about two, like, middle-aged women who are mm-hmm. best friends. They live together. They were both,
they do
like
everything together.
They do everything together. They work together. They live together. Like, they just are talking constantly. Even they were like, even when one of them wasn't working, they would go to work.
Yes, to like just to hang person. Out.
And then they realized when they went on vacation that like it's not a sustainable friendship doing right. that. Like they were so codependent on each other.
Right.
That
they weren't living their own lives
outside of each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then they started living their own lives and their friendship like really blossomed and it was just beautiful.
Yeah. It's a beautiful film. Highly recommend.
And what's his face is so hot. Jamie Dornan.
Oh yeah, no, he is so hot. It's messed up.
Baby.
Ooh, baby.
Anyway.
Yes. But yes, 10 out of 10 on that movie. Love that movie. Highly recommend. Yeah. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, on Hulu.
If anybody's go looking watch for it.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my article.
Beautiful. Wow, it's like a book Thank report. You. I love it.
Thank you. That was my presentation on the article.
Oh my God, I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So my article is actually not that different. I had looked at the one that you read and thought yeah. about picking it, but did not because I decided instead to go with this one, which is How One Friend Can Change the Course of Your Life, which is dramatic, but real.
But accurate.
No, it's true. And it made me think about all the friends I've had who have definitely changed my life. And I'm really, I would say almost all of them, but we'll get into it. So this article or this interview is with two friends, Mitchell and Judo, and they met because they became friends because they were helping each other move to the places where the other person was from. So basically, so it starts with in college, Mitchell becomes friends with this girl, Courtney, who's from Washington State. Mitchell's from Nebraska. And when he went to go visit, he was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with the Pacific Northwest. Like, this place is so beautiful. This is so amazing. Like, I think I want to move there. And Courtney was friends with Judo. They had gone to high school together. So when he graduated, he moved to Washington. And she was like, hey, I actually have a friend who is moving to Nebraska, where Mitchell was from. And she was like, you like might want to talk to him because you guys are really similar. And Mitchell was like, all right, whatever. So Judo ends up moving to Nebraska for a job. And apparently when they meet up, like Mitchell was like, yeah, I'll pick you up at the airport when you arrive. And Judo gets there that day and calls him and he's like, oh shit, that's today. Okay, be there soon. And shows up like filthy. Like Judo was like, he looked like he had been camping. Like he was like, his car was a mess. Like he was a mess. But that day when he picked him up at the airport, he ended up taking him home to his parents' house where he like met his family. They ended up spending the whole day together. He met all his friends. They did yoga together. And it was like this instant connection where the two of them were like, wow, we like really get along. Even though Judo initially was like, I don't know how I feel about this guy. Which is really funny.
That's
in hindsight.
So cute.
Yeah.
I feel like also I feel like I keep talking about like movies, but I feel like there aren't very many movies like that. There's a lot of like romantic movies about, you know, two people that meet and it's an instant connection and then they fall in love and whatever.
Right.
But there aren't very many like that are about just friendship. And I think the only one that I can think of right now is Luca. Maybe that's because I just recently watched it and I'm obsessed with it.
I still haven't seen it. Don't spoil anything.
Haley, I need you to get your shit together.
I know.
But this is not spoiling anything.
I asked her to watch it with me this weekend and she was like, oh, I already saw it. And I was like, God damn it.
Wow. I can't believe she didn't offer to watch it again because it's so good.
I know.
This is not spoiling anything, but that is a movie where like those two boys, they meet and then they're like instantly just like,
inseparable.
Besties.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen that often in real life, but I feel like it should be more discussed.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
It definitely does happen.
Side note.
But yeah, so basically, like that whole first summer when Judo was there, like Mitchell spent so much time with him and they just instantly became friends and connected. And they talk a lot in their interview too about how spending that time with Judo that first day that they met, where he like got to meet his whole family and all his friends and like saw who he was from the ground up, like saw his foundation, was a huge part of the reason why they ended up becoming such fast friends. Because it was like he got a real look at who he was as a human and where he came from right from the get-go. And Judo talks too about how like somebody like Mitchell wouldn't necessarily be the kind of person he'd be drawn to just in everyday life. Because, I mean, one of the things he mentions is that like he seemed like, I don't know, like he was living in Nebraska, so he was like, oh, I don't know if this guy's going to be liberal, but he really was. Judo mostly had friends who were people of color. Mitchell was white, but he, you know, learned that they actually did align on most of their views. They just had, what they said was like, they had different starting points, but they did meet in the middle.
Aw.
So anyway, they became friends there. And then Mitchell did eventually move to Washington. And there was a period of time where actually they both lived in Seattle together in an attic. They lived in an unfurnished attic. Literally. Oh my God. Yes.
Sounds like a bonding moment.
Yes. And they actually lived together in Seattle for like 2 years. They were there in the same place at the same time. But other than that, the two of them move around a lot. Like they love to travel. But when they were in Seattle, Judo ended up introducing Mitchell to one of his friends who then became his girlfriend, who he has now been dating for like the past 4 years. Ah, yeah. So the three of them are like a little trio. And when Mitchell and his girlfriend moved to Spain for a while, like Judo went out to visit and they just have had like the closest relationship. So anyway, obviously, these two friends changed the course of their lives because now they know that they have each other for forever. But also on top of that, like Judo was able to feel comfortable and welcome in a new place because of Mitchell, the same way that Mitchell was able to feel comfortable and welcomed when he moved as well. And Mitchell met his now girlfriend that he's had for 4 years, which is a really big deal. And they did actually end up also going to the Philippines right before COVID and met Judo's family because he has a ton of family that lives there.
Yeah.
Before they had to leave and come back to the United States when everything started shutting down. And so at this point now they do like they've both seen where each of them is from, which has only strengthened their friendship further. It is so cute. I love them a lot. But I did take some screenshots of the parts that I thought were like really beautiful that I wanted to share. And one thing that Judo says is, well, actually before Judo's part, Mitchell says, our other friendships are also in good standing, I would say. If you want something to last, you need to make an effort. You have to go out of your way because there comes a time in every friendship when it's not convenient anymore. The ones that fall off are friendships of convenience. The deeper ones persist.
Dude, right? That's so true. And I mean, we talk about this a lot, like the situation, right?
Yes.
And it's so funny because the word convenience, my friend Kathleen, one of my best friends from high school, we grew up neighbors and we always used to joke like we're only friends because it's convenient, like we're just convenient friends. But now like we don't live in the same street anymore, but we still like keep in touch. It's harder, obviously, like she's about to have a baby, I'm about to move to Austin, Texas, like it's harder to be in touch, but like we make an effort. Like, we make sure that, like, if I think of Kathleen, I'm like, oh, I haven't seen Kathleen in a while. Like, I make sure to text her or, like, you know, try to make plans with her, even though I know she's so busy and I'm so busy. Like, we make an effort.
Right.
And that's so important. Like, convenience is not going to be around forever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and Judo talks about that too. Like he said, he was like, you know, it's ironic because our friendship did start as a friendship of convenience. Like we started to be friends because we needed each other's help when we were moving to these places.
But every friendship does. I feel so strongly about that.
I
can't think of a single friend that I have that didn't start out because we just happened to be in the same place at the same time.
Right. It's not like you just like meet a random person and you're like, I want to be your friend. Like you meet people and you think, I would like to be your friend in this situation that we're in at this time, like this is a helpful thing for me. And later on in your friendship is when you discover whether or not it's going to last and, you know, stand the test of time.
Right.
Oh, Oh my God. Actually, this was another thing I wanted to mention that this article made me think about is something we haven't gotten into a lot, but that the difference between male friendships and female friendships.
Yes.
And how like male friendships don't have the same like emotional depth to them often, yeah. not all the time, obviously, but like often they yeah. don't, because men have more trouble like expressing their emotions in general and just like feeling things.
'Cause society.
Right, exactly. Not entirely their faults. But they talk about that in the article. Judo says, like, he talked about instances where they were having issues. Like, he was having issues and Mitchell was there mm-hmm. for him. Like, for example, he says, one Christmas, Mitchell and his family sent us a card with some money in it. At the time, I was broke as fuck, and my brother and sister also don't have money. Getting $100 so we could buy food or cleaning supplies meant so much. I well up just thinking about it. I want to cry because it meant a lot. I love you. And Mitchell says, you can cry, buddy. Sometimes you just got to feel the emotion. And he said, Judo has been there for me emotionally and vice versa. A lot of times you can't have that level of intimacy with another male friend. Even some of my best homies, we never go that deep. It's too awkward or nobody wants to. Judo and I have always been able to have that.
Oh my God.
Ow, my heart. I can't. I can't.
I'm in pain.
Ow. But like, oh I God. Love that they talked about that. I love that they were like, they acknowledged the fact that with their other male friendships, it just isn't as yeah. deep as it is with right. them. And they like really lean into that. Like they really do share with each other so much. Like they're basically family. It's almost right. like having like a brother, you know?
Right.
Which, I mean, that's special. You don't find that with everyone. Not even like,
mm-hmm.
I would say not even every friendship that changes the course of your life will have that level of intimacy. And they do.
No, I would agree.
Yeah. Yep. The last thing I wanted to mention was they do talk about love languages.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mitchell says, we speak different love languages, too. I'm words of affirmation and quality time, where Judo is a giver through and through. Sometimes Judo will even bring me back gifts from places, which means a lot, even though that's not a way I normally communicate. But being a good friend to each other means understanding how Judo likes to receive love. And that may not be the same way that I give it, but that's how you invest more in a relationship, by better understanding what your friend needs from you. Can we just...
Dude, that is... Yes.
Yes, Mitchell. Yes, Judo.
It's so true. It's so true.
You love to see
it. Oh, my God. I've actually, like, fallen into pits of despair where I'm like...
No.
And that's so dramatic. I'm sorry. It's not actually what it is. But, like...
It's okay. I understand.
I've fallen into, like, oh, no, this person and I are, like, I don't feel like we're as close anymore. Mm-hmm. But then I really think about it and I'm like, no, like, their love language is just...
Different.
Acts of service.
Yeah.
And they are doing this, this, and this for me. They're just not telling me what's going on. But, like, this is how they're showing their love for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it, just because it's different than mine doesn't mean... It's
that
not
it's not love.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Well, actually, Babette and I talked about that this weekend a little bit. That was one of our many discussions that we had mid Cruella. because my love language is gift giving, as I've said before.
Yeah.
So much like Judo, I also love to give people presents. And Babette was talking about how like her and her family just don't exchange gifts anymore. That's just not something that they do for any holiday, any birthday, like none of that. They just don't exchange gifts. They just spend time together and that's it. And that's like what's important to them. And I was like, wow, that's so beautiful. Like you guys must all have very similar love languages and they must be more like quality time based, I would assume in that case. And she was like, yeah, well, like, I just don't really like presents that people get me usually. And I just feel like I would rather just have time with someone than a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to her why I do love gift giving so much because, and I think the reason why people don't necessarily always understand that is because they see gift giving as just being materialistic. But to me, gift giving is a whole process. It's not just, you know, having a new toy. It's going around thinking about what would this person like. It's seeing something randomly just in the middle of the day and going, oh, that reminds me of Haley, or that reminds me of Jen. Oh my God, they would love this. And then getting it and thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to give this to them. This is going to make them so happy. It's going to make their lives so much easier, whatever it is. And then being able to give it to them and see the joy on their face because they're like, wow, this is something that I either didn't know I needed or I really wanted so badly and I wouldn't get for myself because I feel like I don't deserve things, or it was too expensive, or it was just not something that I felt like was necessary at this time in my life, but like will make me so much happier. And then every time you use that thing, you think about the person who got it for you and how special it is that they took that time to put in all of that work and thought about who you are as a person and what would make you happy and make your life better. Like, I just feel like there's nothing more beautiful than that. I love it so much. And I feel like people like don't think about it that way because for them, it's not a big deal. For them, it is, oh shit, Christmas is in 2 weeks. I guess I got to go find a towel that my mom likes or something like that. Like, people don't have that same like emotional connection to giving people presents or finding things that people like. So I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like us gift people, like, we get a bad rap.
No, I think that that's true. I think that there's just more, it's more complicated than us basic words of affirmation, quality time, love language people can understand. Like, for example, like you gave me a Dunkin' Donuts onesie for my birthday. I'm obsessed with it, first of all. Like, it, and it's like a clear representation of like, our friendship. We talk about Dunkin' Donuts all the time. Yep. Like, I talk about how I walk every day to get my Dunkin' Donuts. Like, it's a part of our friendship. And now, like, when I think of Dunkin' Donuts, I think of you. You know, it's more than just
the dream.
And Claire's, my old roommate Claire, her love language is also gift giving. And I find it tough because, like, I'm not very good at giving gifts. Like, I don't know what to get anybody ever. Unless I see something that I'm like, that is
That's perfect the one.
For this person. Yeah. Like, I saw that Gemini necklace I gave you for your birthday, and I was like, I need to get this for Haley. Like, but that, and it did, the timing just worked out that your birthday was like the next month.
Right.
But that doesn't usually happen for me. Yeah. You know, like, it's usually like, oh no, I have to figure out what to get Haley. What should I get her? And then I have to think about it forever. But what you just said actually was really helpful for me to understand now, because Claire also, for my birthday, got me a really thoughtful gift. She, like, ordered it on Etsy. Did I show it to you? I don't know if I did. It's a photo. It's so epic. It is a photo of Max Goof. It's like a drawing of Max Goof and me, but, like, me as a dog in a Goofy movie.
What?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it to show you. Oh my God, can't believe I haven't showed it to you.
Blown. That's it, the fucking coolest shit I've ever heard.
It is so good. What? And like, it's so good. Wait, can you see it?
Oh my God, Jen, you're so cute.
I know. I'm such a cute dog.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. That's amazing.
We'll share it on the socials.
Yes. Keep an eye on the IG.
It's amazing. And like, I don't, like, that, when she showed me that, when she showed it to me, I was like, I know that, like, she went hunting for that, you know? Like,
right.
Like, there's nothing that's, like, thrown in your face that's, like, get a photo drawn of you and Max Goof. Like, that's not a thing.
Right, no.
A Goofy movie is, like, so obscure. Sure. She looked for that. She put a lot of effort and thought into that. And that's how I know that Claire loves me.
Exactly. I feel like that, that is a perfect representation of it. And I do think that, I mean, for me, part of gift giving is like keeping an eye out all year long. Like, I was telling Babette, I was like, Christmas is like my Super Bowl. Like, I literally spend all year thinking about Christmas and about the presents that I have to get people. I literally, as soon as it's December 26th, if I see something that you like, I'm buying it and saving it for the following December 25th because I like need to get just the right thing. And sometimes if you find something that looks really wonderful for that person, like you got to get it in that moment or else you might not be able to find something as good later. I've made that mistake many, many times.
Well, and I think that that's also important when you're thinking about gift giving as a love language, because that is not necessarily something that me as somebody who's Words of Affirmation would think about, right? Like you're giving me a thoughtful gift because you have taken all these things that I've said and, and I've like talked about and you are storing them away like a squirrel with a nut.
Yes, I'm taking all the nuts of information.
You're taking all the nuts, and then you're buying me a present, and then you go into hibernation and you get me a present.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's literally me to a T.
I'm on one today with the fucking weird metaphors. I'm so sorry.
But it's perfect. Like, that's exactly what it is. And that's why it's also like, and Babette and I talked about this too, sometimes it can be like, annoying slash like disappointing to have somebody give you a gift where you're like what, like hey, I don't know why this isn't really me at all, like I'm kind of confused. But I recognize that not everybody has the same inclinations that I do, and so
not
I don't
everybody
like,
has the
people.
Gift of gift giving.
Right, but I just need to keep in mind that okay, for that person, this isn't what they value. This isn't how they show me love.
Well,
and therefore
I
need to be attentive of what they're doing in other ways.
That's the most important thing about Mitchell and Judo, is that they don't have the same love language, but they understand each other's love language and they are able to love each other despite their differences in love language.
Right.
And that is just as important in friendship as it is in a relationship.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Yes. But anyway, and I really, really loved that article because I do think that it, like, I mean, well, I wanted to ask you, Jen, do you feel like you have a friend who has changed the course of your life? Maybe even multiple friendships that have changed the course of your life?
Well, I know I already talked about Aura a lot today, but I think or change is changing the course of my life and continues to. I think I would, not that I'm moving to Austin for her, but I probably wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for her.
Right.
And I think I have a lot of friends who have kind of contributed to me moving, right? Like my friend Charlotte, who lives in LA. She like, her and I talk a lot about like me wanting to move, and like she's very like nomadic and spontaneous, and like she's always kind of inspired me to like step out of my comfort zone. So like probably her a little bit too. Changed the course of my life.
I mean, it's
that
also
feels
possible.
So intense, but I think everybody has.
Well, and I was going to say, it's also possible that we have friendships that are changing the course of our lives now that we just don't know yet. Like, we haven't seen how it's going to play out. And maybe when we're like 40, we'll be like, wow, that friendship changed who I am fundamentally as a human.
Well, I think all of my friendships change. Most of my friends, my friendships, like, have definitely changed who I am as a person.
Yeah, same.
I guess, realistically, my old coworker, Alexa, she changed the course of my life because she is the one who knew Claire and got me to live with Claire and Tasha. So she changed the course of my life.
That's a big one.
I feel like there's a lot of people that have changed the course of my life and changed who I am as a person.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking about it when I was on the train home, and I was thinking about how if I really think about it, like, I think all of my friends have changed my life in some way. And maybe in small ways, like I never would have tried that one drink from Starbucks if they hadn't recommended it to me kind of ways.
Right.
But also in really big ways, like, I mean, obviously the first one that comes to mind is Heather, because she literally introduced me to my husband. Like, I wouldn't have Steven if I didn't have Heather first. The same way that Heather would not have her husband, Alex, if she didn't have me first. So we have changed each other's lives quite a lot because of that. But I really do think that all of my friends have changed my life in one way or another. And I don't know. I think about it. I'm thinking about it a lot more now that I have like time and space to ruminate on it. And also because I am going through this period of my life that's really transitional and probably also very transformative. Like,
totally.
I'm trying very hard to get back to like basics with who I am as a person and, you know, what's important to me. And
yeah.
Inevitably, all the time, I'm brought back to the people who are the closest to me in my life and what they mean to me and what they've taught me about myself and about the world. I mean, even just today, I was talking to friend of the pod, Emily Rooker, and telling her about, I was telling her about all these things that I was trying to, like, I was kind of considering about, like, my next career move and stuff. And she was just like, yeah, I just feel like you shouldn't, like, you're such a creative and spiritual and, like, mystical person. Like, you shouldn't waste your time, like, doing something boring that's not, that's just not you, Haley. Like, you aren't that kind of person. That's not what's going to make you happy. And that's also, like, it, like, having a conversation like that and a moment like that kind of, like, takes you back a minute to be like, wow, I can't believe that this person knows me well enough.
Oh my God, I have that thought all the time.
Right? Like, the fact that somebody knows me well enough to know when I'm not being completely honest with myself, when I'm unsure about something, when I might not be happy about something, but I want to cover that up. Like, Babette did the same thing this weekend. She damn near said the same thing that Emily said. And like, you have told me the same thing. Heather has told me the same thing. Like, all these people who are important to me in my life echoing the same message over and over again. I'm like, okay, I feel like maybe they might know something that I'm like,
that I just haven't quite figured out myself yet.
Yeah, like unable to like come to terms with or like see for myself. Like, maybe I should listen to them because these people just want the best for me and they know me so well. Like,
that's, it's wild. Lindsay said something to me the other day that made me think, oh my God, like, she knows me so well.
Yeah.
We were talking about like, how we communicate with our friends so differently. And like, you know, you have to know how to communicate with each friend to like get the most out of your conversations with them. And she said to me, she was like, yeah, like I always know that with you, I have to like talk about the bullshit first and then we get into the deep stuff. And I was like, fuck, you're right. Like, I do always do that. Like, I talk about the bullshit and then I get into like, I have to get like comfortable, whatever. But I didn't even realize that about myself until she said it to me.
Dude, I was like, shit,
this girl knows me. This girl knows me. And like, anytime I, you know, like, I think my Eric, my friend from high school, he has always been very good at like knowing something about me before I know it. And like, it's just such a beautiful thing. But I think it's easier to like be an onlooker almost, you know, like it's sometimes easier for me to be able to explain you to you than it is for you to explain you to you.
Yes, that's exactly right. I completely agree. No, I know exactly what you mean and I totally agree. I think, no, that's so true because I think about that all the time. Whenever somebody says something that they know about me, like that they know to be true, or vice versa, if I say something that I know to be true about them, like, why are we always shocked? It's, I think we all just have a really horrible...
Why are we shocked?
I just think we all have a really bad, like, poor ability to see ourselves for who we really are. And I mean, certainly that's not true for everybody. And I do think a lot of it has to do with astrology. I'm sorry, I just do.
Any final thoughts on your article? I thought that was a beautiful article. That's a beautiful story. I think your article was better than mine.
Thanks.
Not that it was a competition, but you won.
I like both articles a lot. I think that I really honestly would love to read more too. I think that this whole series is really beautiful. And again, if anybody wants me to do it for you, let me know. But I
do
know.
Love hearing people's stories of how they know each other. Yeah. Like, that's how I knew that I would like this series, because my favorite question to ask to people that are friends is, oh, how do you guys know each other? And then, like, the more complicated that story is, the better it is. I'm like, yeah. Ooh, tell me everything.
Yes.
It's well, like, we, well, you her do love sister is my teacher's ex-boyfriend's mm-hmm. sister. Like, I love that shit. Yeah. That's my favorite. The way that people are connected. Ooh, it really gets me off.
Ooh, yes. Ooh. We love it.
So if you guys have articles that you think are really awesome that you want us to like look at mm-hmm. or read or talk about, send them in. Let us know if you have questions about friendship dilemma that you have, send it in. Email us nofilterfriendship@gmail.com. That is nofilterfriendship@gmail.com.
Hell yeah. Can we also add, if you have a really interesting how we know each other story?
Yeah.
Can you send that in too?
How we know each other story, tell us.
I mean,
make my day.
We love tea and we love gossip, but I think we'd also love to hear more friendship stories too. So if you guys have some.
Oh my God, yes.
Please send.
I love a friendship story. And then like, the more information you can give us, the better, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go into detail, please. Write a novel.
Detail. We need the detail.
And if you want to find us on social media, you guys know you can always do that at No Filter Friends with a Z at the end. That's where you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. But if you're actually looking for us on TikTok, it's No Filter Friendship, whole thing written out. Make sure that you come send us DMs, send us questions. We're currently compiling for a Q&A episode coming up. So make sure that you send us any hot cues you want us to A. It can be anything. We can get juicy. Mm-hmm. Like, go for it. And tag a bitch. If you are posting about us on socials anywhere, make sure that you're tagging us. We want to see it. We want to share it.
And
we
rate, review, and subscribe.
And also
follow us on Spotify.
If you're on Spotify. That's what's up, everybody. We'll see you next week.
For another episode of No Filter Friendship.
Yay.
Bye, friends.
Bye, friends. Bada bing, bada boom.